Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to be with us and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word so that we can receive it, Father, in its truth and in its power so that we can walk upright, Father, gaining in faith, in truth, in a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study this morning, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16 this morning. Give you a minute to get there, if you're not already there, because Moses with me knows where we're at. We've been going through the book of Acts. But we never know when the good Lord's going to change things. All right. Now, verse 1. Then came he to the grave and left Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. You see, she was one of the Jews that had married into the Gentiles. Now, which was well reported of by the brothers that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with them and circumcising because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now you see, Paul didn't have him circumcised because of salvation. he had him circumcised in order not for his work to be hurt there among the Jews. And because they knew that his dad was Greek, and they also knew, you know, that most of them men had never been circumcised. Paul's wanting him with him, so he took him and had him circumcised. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the degrees for the keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. The degrees Paul is now proclaiming, but the context makes it clear that Paul's purpose in the circumcision is not for salvation, but for service, in that he wanted Timothy to go forth with him. And Paul knew that Timothy's ministry to the Jews would be hampered if he remained uncircumcised. Paul's practice was to do all things that would help to win men to Christ. He was willing to give up all his personal rights. And he was. We all know that because we know how Paul lived. It's all recorded here in these epistles here in the New Testament. Verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. He's telling us here that these churches that were established in the faith and they increased in number daily. 6. Now when they had gone through Perigae and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Messiah came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly hearing that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You see, Paul's call to Macedonia was preceded by other directives from the Spirit after passing through the central part of Asia Minor. And Paul attempted to swing down through the southern province of Asia. The Spirit forbid him. He then attempted to turn back through the northern province of Bithynia. Again, the Spirit stopped him. After guiding Paul to the west coast of Asia Minor at Troas, the Holy Spirit finally gave him the positive direction for which he had been preparing for him. See, he'd already been to work, working and preparing really the way and the means for Paul to make that trip. Now, here in and, you know, as we go on now, first time the author of Acts places himself in the narrative by means of the first person, plural personal pronouns, we and us. Luke seems to join the missionary team at Troas. Then at the end of chapter 16, remains at Philippi when the others leave. Intentionally, the we passage is made about 6 years later. It resumes about 6 years later at the end of Paul's third journey as he passes through Philippi. The third we passage of Acts involves Paul's transport as a prisoner to Rome in chapter 27. Now, we go into verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day, to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Now, where prayer was wrought to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted to. 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Paul's first European convert was from the very province of Asia, where Paul had recently been forbidden to go. Thyatira, it was famous for its purple dye. That's what it was famous for. This is why she was making things in purple, this lady. Now, 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. She's inviting them in to take care of them while they are in that area. Now, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or by witchcraft, that she was bringing her masters a lot of money. 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. The things that she's saying here is so. But that's not really why she's doing it. She's doing it to be aggravated. But she just keeps it up the bottom of everyone. Now, 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He'd come out of there. You know, the strange words of the demon-possessed girl that Paul is proclaiming the ways of salvation reveal Satan's insidious attack upon the work of God. His method is to counterfeit that which is genuine, thereby confusing and corrupting it. You know, and he's still doing it today because they are teaching a lot of things today from the scripture that is contrary to the scripture. Now, 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now, you see, they're still here after Paul. They're not letting him go and go in peace. They're still trying to tear down everything he's doing. Now, they've caught him now, him and Silas both, and they took him to the marketplace and to the rulers, those that were in charge. 20, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. 21. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Anything to tear down what Paul and Silas is teaching. And the same thing is going on in our land today. That's why that things are in the shape they are in. Look what they've done to our Lord Jesus Christ. They took him out of every place he was in. They don't want him even used in prayer. And they stopped our military chaplains from ending their prayers in his name. They can be court-martialed and kicked out of the service. We're doing, think about this. Because we sit back and let evil take over in a lot of our churches. And I mean in a lot of, most of them in fact, that are teaching things that are so wrong to the Word of God, and accepting things that is out and outright evil. We've got churches right now that's accepting adulterers into their podiums as their pastor to teach them about God's Word. It won't work. And then they have accepted into most all of our churches the notion and what the government put out that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, that that's just an alternate lifestyle. And then we have those that have accepted even the woman's choice on abortion. You think our churches are not in bad shape? And they are telling you that it's all right, you can go to the Lord. And once that you can be, you can go to him and repent and be saved and go right back out and live any way you want to live. You can go back to your old lifestyle. You can go on back and commit them same old sins over and over and over, because all you have to do, if you could do that, is just keep going and repenting about it, and he keeps forgiving. No, that doesn't work. It does not work. And these pastors is telling you that you can't live your life without sin is lying to you. According to the Word of God, that's what they're doing. They're lying to you. That's not my word. That's God's word. You see, we're told what we have to be in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We was told that back when we were going through John. We were told that in the third chapter, that we have to be born again. That unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's God's word, not mine. That's his. You can go read it. Third chapter of the Gospel of John. Then go to 1 John, third chapter. And he puts it plain what being born again is all about and what happens to you when you are. And it lets you know a lot of things that you really, in fact, most today, they don't even want to think about it, really. They don't want to think about it. Now, you know, when we take 1 John in the third chapter, and I'm going to start with the third verse. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. He's talking about purifying yourself even as he is pure, Jesus. And every man whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Are you in God? Are you in the Lord? Is he in you? We're told he is, if we are right, if we're born again. And he tells you right here that you sinneth not. He goes on to tell you, whosoever sinned has not seen him and neither known him. So you see, if you are still sinning, you've never known him. Now, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You're righteous just the same as Jesus would be, if you are righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now I want you to listen. Whosoever is born of God, well, that's being reborn. That's what reborn is, being born of God. And you're told that back in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, the Holy Spirit, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, there in that 10th verse, he's letting you and I know when we sin whose children we are. And he's told you that when you're reborn, then you do not sin no more. Now, will you make mistakes and errors? Yes. As you are growing in your knowledge, you'll learn something you've been doing that really is wrong. But that didn't count to you as sin because you didn't know. But now you know. So you don't do that anymore. Oh, now, Pastor, surely that's not the way it works. Yes, you see, if you don't know something's wrong, then God don't count that to you as sin. And now, if you really want to know, you know, let's take a look here. I don't know why the Lord led me this way, but he did. Anyhow, anyway, come with me to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. You're talking about, and you hear everybody say, it's all over television. Most every preacher on there will tell you, all these nuns perfect. Nobody's perfect. Only Christ. Now, but here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, start here with verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now he sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. We're talking about Jesus. 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you a sanctified Christian? If you are truly a born-again child of God, yes. What's he told you there? Them that are sanctified, he has perfected. Now, you see, when you tell me you're lying, you're not telling me, you're telling the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that he's lying. Now, 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. That is a covenant. Put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. We hold them in our hands. When we are reading the Holy Bible, that's why we study it. And that's why we are to put more time in to it. Now, 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now, when I, let's say that I went out here and stole something, and I go to the Lord and ask him to forgive me, he does. But then I go back out and I steal again. There's no need in me going and asking him to forgive me because he's not going to do it. He told you so right here. Now where remission of these is, once he's forgiven you for that sin, there is no more offering for sin. Because you see, for that to be done, you'd have to be able to get him out of heaven and put him back on the cross. Re-crucify him, put him to death and all again. We can't do that. Now, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, it takes a boldness to go to him and do it honestly and straight up. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You see, he's not going to go back on his promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. as you see the day approaching. So, he's letting you and I know that we are to assemble together. And often, because we do know the day is coming when the Lord is coming for his church. And it's not as far off as man really wants to believe and think today. We don't know when, but we know that it's a lot closer than what mankind really wants to believe. Now, here in 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. Once you know that what you are about to do or thinking of doing, once you know that that is sin, you better leave it alone. Because you see, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Once you know it, then leave it alone. Now, as I said, he goes on to tell us after that what will happen. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified a holy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see, there's a lot involved in sin and the way we live. Now, as we study his word, we are going, because we don't know it all, we're going to find out that they are things we are doing that is wrong. But once we find it out, we don't do it anymore. Because once we find it out that it is sin, then there's no forgiveness. And when we find out that something we've been doing is wrong, we stop right then. But God hasn't counted it to us. We ask God to forgive us, but he hasn't counted it to us as sin. It's a lack of knowledge, an error, you know, because once we find out what it really is, then we leave it alone. That's why we continue growing and getting stronger and stronger, and our faith gets stronger and all. Think about it. You know, there was things I got to thinking about in my life and all. Lord, is this wrong? Let me know, is this wrong, Father? And it would be over a period of time before God would ever answer me. to let me know whether it was right or wrong. And I would slow down about it, and I'd continue seeking from him the answer and the truth of it, is it wrong, until he would give it to me. And then if it was, you quit. You don't do it anymore. Because if you do, you got troubles. Think about it. You see, we've got answers to all of our problems right here in this book. But we have to stay in this book. That's why God has this Bible study going every day. Every morning and every evening. I know there are some that can't make every study. Be good if you could, but I know that there's some that can't. But you make everyone you can. Because everyone you can, the more you learn, the stronger you can grow as a child of the living God. And the more you can be used in his work. Because we are to walk according to his will and his way. Think about this. We're going to be stopping here this evening. God willing, we'll be picking back up here where we left off. In chapter 16 of Acts, God willing. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. Father, I thank you for each and every one that does study with us. And I pray for them, Father. I pray for them to be in good health. If they're sick, I pray for them to be healed, Father. Because we are told that we are healed by his stripes. Those stripes upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ brought healing to you and I. We don't have to walk, Father, in sickness. It doesn't mean that we're going to be healed all instantly every time. Sometimes the Lord does the healing gradually because he still has things for us to learn. And that's why he allowed that sickness to be with us anyway. He didn't give us that sickness, but he allowed it to be there, and he will bring about that healing slowly, if need be, so that we can continue growing in the knowledge he wants us to have. Now, I pray that each one or work closer to him, and it will make themselves available all they can to be in each Bible study they can possibly make. Father, it's all to be exactly what you want us to be. May the Holy Spirit guide us and give us the knowledge we need to know where you want us and what you want of us. use us in great and mighty ways, Father. We know that the Holy Spirit brings us everything that we need in order to be able to do what you ask of us. There is no excuse. Now, Father, use us in great mighty ways. Keep us through this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. Father, this is not fair this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a great day. Walk with God, and he'll walk with you.